From WIPR, I'm Sheila Kest. We're on the record. The Baltimore Improv Group is trying to change the face of comedy, literally. Which faces are not seen? Who is not heard? Queer, trans, non-binary, even women often struggle for a place in comedy. Big's response is X-Fest, 4 days of performances and workshops that celebrate gender minorities in comedy. We meet festival organizers Julia Hall and Hallie Herz and transgender stand-up comedian Violet Gray. She says comedy can combat prejudice.
When you familiarize your audience with something that they might not be exposed to, in a way you're doing your part to humanize that group of people. I do believe that bigotry and prejudice, one of the greatest weapons against them is familiarity.
It's On the Record after the news.
You're listening to On the Record, the podcast, a service of your public radio, 88.1 WYPR. Find more podcasts online at wypr.org. And tell us what you think. Send an email to ontherecord@wypr.org.
Good morning, I'm Sheila Kest. We're On the Record. The Baltimore Improv Group is making efforts to change the face, quite literally, of the comedy scene in Baltimore and beyond. One of its approaches is X-Fest, 4 days of performances and workshops that celebrate gender minorities in comedy. X-Fest starts tonight at the Baltimore Improv Group space, also known as Big, on North Charles Street in Station North. Later in the show, we'll talk with one of the featured performers, a local transgender stand-up comedian. Joining us now are the organizers of X-Fest. Hallie Herz studied improv in Boston before coming to Baltimore and now performs with Big's Plan B main stage troupe. She also teaches middle school at the Park School of Baltimore. Welcome to On the Record, Hallie.
Happy to be here.
Julia Hall is here, too, and is also a member of Big's Plan B. In addition, she performs with local comedy troupes Trampas and Charmsicle. Welcome, Julia.
Thank you.
This is the inaugural X-Fest for Big. Where did the idea come from?
So over a year ago, I think, Big's Diversity Committee decided that they wanted to do a festival.
Let me stop right there. Big's Diversity Committee.
Yes.
Why does Big have a diversity committee? Where does that come from?
So I think a couple of years ago, members of Big, and actually I was among the founding members of the committee, although I'm not on it now, decided that we wanted to make sure that everybody felt comfortable in Big. And kind of similar reasons to why we decided to have X-Fest. Comedy has traditionally been, historically, and even now, a male space, a white space, a cis and straight space. So it's not always the most welcoming environment for people who don't fit into those categories. And so performers at Big decided that they wanted to make sure there was a place people could go if they were feeling uncomfortable, and they wanted to make sure that performers were being protected, and also that we were doing our best to recruit and highlight diverse performers.
And so that approach of having a committee to mm-hmm. to worry about this kind of thing and hear from members, is that sort of a national thing? Are there other improv groups doing this kind of thing?
There are, I think, across the country, theaters are realizing that comedy is funnier when it's more diverse, and that we need to make sure we're protecting all of our performers. So when we started our diversity committee, we reached out to theaters across the country to find out what's worked for them. One of the things that's come out of our diversity committee that we saw at other theaters is actually a diversity scholarship, where we have a couple of classes that are either free or reduced for performers who are LGBTQ or people of color. And so this is something that we're seeing across the country, which is exciting.
And so belabor for me then the connection between the conversations in this diversity committee and X-Fest.
So X-Fest is a natural extension of the work that the diversity committee has been doing. And as Hallie said, improv and stand-up comedy has often in the past and even now been either an unwelcoming or hostile environment sometimes to women or other gender minorities. And so we wanted to really create a space that was dedicated to highlighting those performers.
Is there something like X-Fest in other cities?
Oh, definitely. When we started organizing X-Fest, we got together and we actually looked at the Boston Women in Comedy Festival, kind of for inspiration to see what they were doing. The Detroit improv scene just started their own Women in Comedy Festival. So there are definitely festivals popping up across the country with a similar mission.
X-Fest includes performances and workshops. Tell us first about some of the performers. Give us some highlights.
So we're really excited about our performers. We have performers from Baltimore and D.C. and also across the country. So some of the performances we're really excited about. The Cast is a troupe at the
Magnet Theater.
Yeah, in New York City. And they are coming to do a fully improvised play on Saturday night at 9.
Right. Saturday at 9. Yeah. And what's great about The Cast is they do an improvised play, but you get to see what's happening on stage during the play and also what's happening backstage during the play. So they do this ping pong between front stage and backstage. They're great.
We also have Chelsea Short, who is a stand-up comedian from D.C., who's really funny, and she's performing on Friday. Is that right?
Chelsea's also on Saturday at 8 p.m. Yep. And we also have some great local stand-up comedians like Violet Gray will be performing Friday at 9 p.m., Natalie McGill Friday at 7 p.m. We also, what's great about X-Fest is we have both improv and stand-up, which I would say is something that's a little bit different from some of the other festivals that I mentioned that are happening across the country. So we're going to have a real great variety of performers in our festival.
That's Julia Hall here on the record on WYPR. I'm Sheila Cast. Also here is Hallie Herz. They are the organizers of Baltimore Improv Group's X-Fest, a four-day festival that celebrates gender minorities in comedy. X-Fest starts tonight. Let's listen to a clip, an example of what comedians call punching up. This is Jenna Friedman from a performance on Conan O'Brien's late-night TV show. The piece talks about her observations of the resurgence of Nazis in the U.S., and this clip picks up toward the end.
Our country is very divided right now about what to do with this new strain of North American tiki Nazi. Do we punch them? Do we not punch them? You know, it's tough because it's like on one hand, violence incites violence, but so do Nazis. So what do we do? I don't think violence is ever the answer, but I do think we need to do a better job at making Nazis feel less safe to be Nazis in America and espouse their ideology and recruit other Nazis, because that doesn't really ever work out for anyone who's not a Nazi. Or for Nazis. Thank you. It doesn't work out for Nazis either. Like, it's not like they won, you know? So here's my advice. If you see a Nazi on the street, don't punch him, but maybe lightly harass him. Catcall him. Tell him to smile. If any Nazis work for you, pay them less. Take credit for their ideas. Except that one. You guys see where this is going. If we in America treat Nazis the way that we treat women, at the very least, they will never become president. Thank you guys so much.
I have the impression that some of the workshops that will be part of X-Fest are exploring that kind of approach to comedy. Talk about that.
Definitely. We're super excited that Keisha Zolar is going to be doing a two-day masterclass.
Keisha Zolar, who is she?
She is an improviser from the Upright Citizens Brigade. She has some great credits to her name. She's been featured on Comedy Central on The Opposition with Jordan Klepper. She's been on Orange is the New Black. She performs with UCB Theater. She's just a fantastic performer and teacher. And she teaches a class in New York, actually, on social justice improv. And we are so lucky that she's going to be doing a condensed version of that class here in Baltimore for our community. And her workshop explores punching up, being really emotionally grounded in scenes, and speaking truth to power in scenes.
Punching up. What do you mean by punching up?
So punching up is the concept that that it isn't funny to make fun of marginalized people. So it isn't funny to be racist. It isn't funny to be homophobic and transphobic. And what is funny is kind of pointing out how ridiculous that type of behavior is. And so both of us are actually taking Keisha's workshop, and we're really excited to explore that concept
more.
So
it's punching up as opposed to punching down.
Yeah, right. So punching up at people with power as opposed to punching down at people who have less power. And it's about kind of lifting up those with less power.
Right. We don't want to be the bullies in our comedy. We want to point out the ridiculousness of bullies and the ridiculousness of inequalities.
There's also a workshop about teaching life-affirming comedy.
Yeah. So that's Chelsea Short. And that is a workshop for writing comedy. And I think it's about kind of grounding your comedy in your own life and writing things that feel good to you.
Right. And also just learning the methodology of joke writing.
Yeah.
But using your own life experiences to formulate jokes and recognizing that your own experiences are worthy and affirming and learning to use your experiences to tell your story in a comedic way.
And I think part of what I like about all of this is that sometimes I think people like to, you know, poke fun at people who care about social justice. And they're like, oh, they don't have any sense of humor. They can't be funny. And that's just not true. I think that's a way to silence people. And so what's cool about this is it's showing how funny you can be. And it's not like we're trying not to say things, trying to be politically correct. We recognize that there are a ton of ways to be funny and we don't have to make people feel bad.
Yeah, I got to say, when I first saw the phrase social justice improv class, I thought, well, that sounds like that could be very prescriptive and doesn't sound funny.
I think that people start to get defensive when they feel limited, when they feel like people are telling them what they can and can't say. And I think what's exciting about this weekend is we have all these people who are saying what they want to say, but it's not bullying.
A panel discussion on Saturday is titled Silence and Noise. Who is speaking and what will that be about?
So that panel features Keisha Zolar, Chelsea Short, Violet Gray, our artistic director, Jennifer Withers, and will be moderated by Steph Joyal, who is a local stand-up comedian. And the panel is really about, is to provide an opportunity for folks to talk about ways that they may have been marginalized or silenced in comedy spaces, and then ways that they've kind of pushed back at that, created spaces for themselves, created comedy that took up space and was really funny.
And is life-affirming.
You have both been involved in improv for some time. Have you seen progress toward gender inclusion on the stage?
I definitely think we have. I mean, we have our first female artistic director at Big, Jennifer Withers, who's fantastic, and she's been so supportive and encouraging. She actually started a monthly all-female improv show called Our Time. So that happens the first Monday of every month at Big. And Hallie and I actually started a monthly improv jam for women and other gender minorities.
Well, thanks for sharing your excitement about this. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Julia Hall and Hallie Herz are organizers of Baltimore Improv Group's X-Fest, a four-day festival that celebrates gender minorities in comedy. It starts tonight and runs through this Sunday, June 3rd. Performances and workshops are held at Baltimore Improv Group at 1727 North Charles Street in Baltimore. I'm Sheila Katz. This is On the Record. After the break, we'll hear from a featured performer. Stay with us.
This is the On the Record podcast, a service of Your Public Radio, member-supported 88.1 WYPR. You can support this podcast and everything you hear from WYPR. Become a member. Come to WYPR.org and click the donate link.
Welcome back to On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. We're talking today about Baltimore Improv Group's X-Fest, 4 days of performances and workshops that celebrate gender minorities in comedy. We spoke earlier with Hallie Herz and Julia Hall, the festival organizers. Joining us now is transgender stand-up comedian Violet Gray. Gray's been performing stand-up for more than a decade. She's been featured on Night Train with Wyatt Cenac and can be seen regularly in D.C. at Beer Baron Tavern and at Viceroy's in Hampton. She'll take the stage at X-Fest tomorrow night, 9 p.m. Welcome to On the Record, Violet.
Thank you for having me. This is great.
Tell us some of your background. How did you first start performing stand-up comedy?
Well, I'm one of those people who started performing stand-up comedy before I knew that's what I was doing. I should have taken the hint when I went to Towson for biology and people. Towson University for biology. And people kept asking me what sort of performer I was. They assumed that I was in the theater program. I should have taken the hint then. But I'm old enough that I started doing stand-up officially by looking in the newspaper for an open mic night. And I hit it constantly, played to constant silence, but I kept trying.
Why? Why did you keep trying? Why did you keep wanting to get those laughs?
I believe it was Robin Williams who said that the reason he thinks that so many comedians have substance issues is because they're looking for something that equals what they feel when they're on the stage. There are few feelings like having a good set, and it's something you chase when you're a comedian. It's something you chase constantly until you get it right.
Have you always performed as Violet Gray?
Oh, no. For the first 6 years, I was not performing as Violet Gray.
Who were you?
I was Dorian Gray, which is the name I was born with.
That's kind of a stunning name. But I presume you were male.
Yes. And for about 6 years, I performed that way. And one day I decided to say, you know what? I'm just going to go for it. My buddy Jim Meyer had an open mic in Hamden at the Golden West at that time. And he said he told the comics he was specifically looking for something that is different than what most people want to try. He's like, I'm looking for comedy that we don't see a lot. And I thought this was a perfect opportunity, and I just got up on stage. And my first YouTube clip, actually, is from that moment.
So you were trying something out.
I was trying something out, doing stand-up as who I was.
So, I mean, you were both trying out. You were still in the process. I guess you always are in the process of trying out your stand-up.
Yes, it's a constant.
But you were also trying out a different sexual identity.
Well, it's not the first time. I started showing signs when I was very young, maybe about, I know it was the single digits, maybe 4 or 5.
Uh-huh.
I didn't have a name for her yet, but there was an element that was always there, pretty much. And it was, what I was trying was doing stand-up, but this time being more open. I was already out to my friends and a few people in the comedy scene at that point, but not everyone yet. And I was like, hello, guys. Hi, this is me.
Well, you mentioned it's on YouTube, so I presume the word spread pretty quickly. Stand up in a new identity, I assume it's not a secret anymore.
The word spread quite rapidly without my help. And I'm like, well, I'm better for worse. I'm out.
So a lot of your stand-up deals with just that, your identity.
Yes.
As transgender and related experiences. Why do you choose to make that a big part of your comedy?
Because I think it is very important when you have anyone who is some sort of minority, be it color or gender identity or sexual orientation, I think that representation matters. And I think that when you familiarize your audience with something that they might not be exposed to, in a way you're doing your part to humanize that group of people. I do believe that bigotry and prejudice, one of the greatest weapons against them is familiarity, because ultimately it boils down to fear of the unknown. So also, it's just where my mind is right now. I have all these experiences. It's what Chris Rock said, that in order to do stand-up comedy, you need life experiences. So these are my life experiences that I'm using to submit for everyone's enjoyment.
I would think some of our listeners are thinking you're coming out as transgender. How funny can that be?
Oh, my goodness. There are so many funny transgender comics, and I don't think it's a coincidence, because sometimes turning it into comedy is the only way to deal with some of the grief, some of the things that happen to you. A lot of comics love to say that comedy is tragedy plus time. And I haven't had it nearly as bad as some other people have. I've been very fortunate with the people in my life. But yes, it's at the end of the day, a comic is a comic, and they either can make something funny of their life experiences or they can't.
But there's also, I'm guessing, sort of a sense of mission in what you're doing.
Well, yes. Like I said before, I do believe I would like to do my part in humanizing people who are often discriminated against, who are often marginalized. Yeah, I would say that if I had a mission with my comedy, it would be to express myself first and foremost. But other than that, it would be if I could help people have a greater understanding in some way, I would love to do that.
This is On the Record on WIP. I'm Sheila Cass, speaking with stand-up comedian Violet Gray about her performance and workshop at Baltimore Improv Group's X-Fest this weekend. You're part of a panel discussion at X-Fest called Silence and Noise, which will address the ways women and gender minorities have been silenced in comedy spaces. Have you felt silenced as a transgender performer?
Well, I have met with some opposition. I have met with some pushback.
Pushback?
Yes. I had one comic flat out say to me, "I can't talk to you while you're dressed like that," and then walk away. I've had comics.
Is this somebody who knew you?
Yes.
Before as Dorian?
Mm-hmm. I've overheard conversations when they didn't think I could hear them. I had one person who took stealth pictures of me and went around the Baltimore comedy scene showing when I first came out, went around the Baltimore comedy scene showing different people. I was like, "Can you believe this? Oh my God." But it's not often that a male comic that you've known for 6+ years one day starts presenting as female, you know? So yes, I do think that the voices that get priority, especially in comedy, do tend to be more male and more often more white. Even people of color sort of get boxed into this quote unquote urban comedy genre, even if what they're saying resonates more than that.
So what do you hope comes from the panel discussion, Silence and Noise?
What I'm hoping comes from the panel discussion is, I'll be honest, I don't know what to do fully about the silence, but the panel has some great people, and I'm hoping to learn from them, and I'm hoping to give my input and my insight and my general views, and I'm hoping that people who leave the panel will have a greater sense of what to do if they are being silenced for being a woman or a gender minority.
And you're performing tomorrow night at X-Fest. What difference do you think it makes having something like X-Fest in the comedy realm?
Oh, I think that X-Fest is extremely important, and I'm very excited about it, because I think that truths often come out through comedy, and certain people have certain truths that they need the rest of us to hear. And if women and gender minorities have more of a voice, or if other people can go to a festival and hear people and hear things that resonate with them and lets them know that they're not alone, I think that's very important.
In your time already as a comedian, what changes have you seen?
Before and after the internet, there have been so many crazy changes. people are having conversations that they didn't have before about gender expression and sex work. And there was this old guard of comic that could say things that our younger society just don't tolerate anymore. Like Roseanne, those comments that she recently lost her show for, I think there was a time when she would have completely gotten away with saying something like that with virtually no repercussions. That's not the same thing anymore. I think people are being held accountable for what they say. And of course, that's going to have an effect on comedy.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. This was great.
It was. That's transgender stand-up comedian Violet Gray, who's taking part in Baltimore Improv Group's X-Fest, which runs from tonight through Sunday. Gray performs tomorrow at 9 p.m. and will be part of the panel discussion Silence and Noise on Saturday at 5:30 p.m. All performances and workshops are at Baltimore Improv Group's space at 1727 North Charles Street in Baltimore. We have a link to all that information at the On the Record page at WYPR.org. This is On the Record. I'm Sheila Cass. Thanks for listening. Join us again tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to this segment of On the Record with Sheila Cast. You can catch the show on the radio Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 10 a.m. on 88.1 WYPR, your NPR news station. And you can support On the Record and all the other public radio programs that WYPR brings to you. Just click the donate link at the top of WYPR.org. And thanks.